If we quit taking the drop and have them for a while, would that affect our ascension process?
Nope.
Okay. I wouldn't recommend. Feel very good.
Right. That's right. That's the rest. That's the obverse side of the coin.
See, that's what I was going to tell Bob. Bob's always ranting and raving. Now I'm taking 5,000 drops and I don't feel nothing. I said, well, stop taking it and tell me what you feel.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way. Because, see, then you have something. Now, look there. That's very interesting. That's an example of visual bias. You don't see any shift or change in your body, but if you stop, you will, because then you've got something to compare it to. Or you could just know that wouldn't be the fastest path to your joy, and in joy continue. No problem.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, the latest.
I was thinking
the
if there was an interruption in the process of getting it, say some catastrophe or something, then you don't get it for a while. Not by choice, you wouldn't get it.
Yawn. Darling, that won't affect you. Or no, let me say it a different way. That shouldn't affect you.
Okay, well, it won't affect me.
See, because there you go. Because otherwise, you may be the poster child for how you can't get your order. Sasha tried that for a minute, and she liked to win, starved to death before she got hers. Shut down the whole Canuck system for a while. It's ridiculous.
One of the latest little things I noticed, I was up in the area north of Toronto at a wedding, and of course, 10 o'clock, the mosquitoes came out. I was smacking a good 30 or 40 of them on my face and neck, and not a big deal. Went back to the hotel, there wasn't so much as a single welt or bite anywhere on me. Not one.
Now, what happens if those mosquitoes go and bite somebody else and your blood gets...
That's good, Chad. That's right. I screwed up everybody at the wedding party.
Yeah.
7 seconds.
Yeah,
well, just by breathing on them, don't you change it?
Well, you're changing the atmosphere. You're changing. The more you all ascend, the more you're changing the atmosphere that will make it. Here's what you'll notice. It'll become less and less and less and less and less appealing for little men to hang around. That's why you've noticed this little bit of shift and change in us. We're no longer focusing on the little ones. Get on the pot, get off, get out of the way. If you're going to do it, do it. If you're not going to do it, get the fuck out of the way, because you're just taking up space. Get out of the way. And Margarita, this is the point, what Margarita picked up on early on. No, 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 this is for the elect, okay? Well, we agree, we just aren't saying who the elect are. They will sort out themselves, you see?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's right, Ryan.
It is for the elect. We just don't
yes.
choose who the elect are. Good.
Yes. I just came in, I'm sorry, I got in late.
We know. That's why we was acknowledging our margarita.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Ion, I'm in Dallas right now, and I'm planning to visit.
Yeah, does Fort Worth ever cross
yes.
your mind?
So I'm planning to visit after my conference.
Good.
Planning
we
to
don't
visit
say you got
to
move into this. We don't. You don't got to move into the stockyards, honey. But look around for revelations in
okay.
In
yeah, all right, I'll do that.
Very good, that's great. Good, now you're getting somewhere. Fine.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I mean, I have this conference that I had to be in because you know about where I am. They make us going to the Federal Reserve for conferences, so I have to be there tomorrow. But then I can have fun afterwards and Saturday, you know. So.
You may have fun at the Federal Reserve.
I don't know. Just
amen. Amen, brother Ben. Shot the rooster and missed the hen.
I don't want to stand up there and say, hey, there's no money.
Oh, You don't have to tell them that, honey. They know. They know.
I know.
They know that. They're very aware of that.
Yeah. So, and so I'm just having fun. I'm in the, here and having fun. I'm in the bar areas of the hotel, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's tomorrow. I can start job-related stuff tomorrow.
Well, fun.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. Right. Okay, Bart, I'm waiting on you. You done cowered up in your little coital fetal position again. Jump in. Pick it up. Let's go.
Hey, Ion, can I jump in there quickly? I just wanted to go ask a question that Sheila had brought up before you got on the line. If Sheila went did the blood donation, the outcome?
It. Oh, go on.
Sorry?
Go on. Yeah. No, go on with your question.
Yeah, if Sheila was to go and donate blood, and that was taken into someone else's body at this point, what would the effects be on the other person?
Well, it wouldn't. They would receive her donation. They would give her a Nutter Butter peanut butter sandwich cookie or some snacks and some juice, and they would thank her, and then they would analyze and cross-check her blood, and they would notice that she has lost all Rh factor in her blood,
mm-hmm.
and they would send it out for study. It would not be introduced into the blood supply.
Would they say something to Sheila about what they say about the
never.
Way, there's something
She's
wrong with you?
Donating to the American Red Cross. They would never say anything. It is not their right to say anything.
Should that
happen that her blood was given to somebody else, or would the effect?
It very potentially could have an effect, but it would not be fully beneficial. Like we were talking about on cash flow, someone receiving ascension by injection. Sheila, that reference was to sperm, darling.
Okay, I thought. Okay.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. It's like, so they talk about a Jewish man marries a Goyish, and so then she becomes Jewish by injection. That's the point, but it would have little or no lasting effect from blood donation to another.
So it'd be a waste of time for me to donate blood. No one would receive it.
Oh no, it might be fun. You could show the android meme something. Wouldn't hurt. No problem.
All right, so I did have a couple of things that I mentioned, but now I've just been sort of curious about the water, how the water will change.
Okay.
You said that our relationship to water, how will the water change, or what will our relationship be to water after this?
Well, you got to figure out what negative pH will do to the water.
Greg, do you have any insight on that? I think you've talked about negative pH a lot.
Well, the pH of water is kind of about as basic, what's the temperature of it. So Ion has always alluded that this negative pH will first show up, I guess, in water, just because water is the most...
It'll just show up, but the first time you'll notice it is in how it affects water.
Very good. Thank you.
It lowers the boiling point.
Because
is that related?
No.
I would think okay. It's not iron, no.
No.
So the boiling point.
Not from where he's asking.
The atmosphere.
Stop. Wait, hold on. If you're going to tell him something, Greggy, tell him about pH, what pH is, and what negative pH would be like, because that's what he's actually asking.
All right, well, pH stands for parts hydrogen. And right now, on the pH scale, which typically goes from 0 to 14,
Tell them what 0 to 14 means. If it's 14, it's pure
alkaline.
And if it's 1, it's pure.
It's pure acid, like in muriatic acid.
There you go. Now you explain. Now you explaining something, GQ. Go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, if you get down to 0, well, number one, as far as I know, there's no air that can measure, you know, below a 0 pH. But it appears, based on what little tidbits I've picked up from Ion, that the whole of how acid affects things changes, because you would think a negative pH is super, is going, oh my God, it's going to burn through everything and stainless steel is, you know, done and eat up everything. But somehow all the rules change when we get into that negative range.
Okay, so the water does.
Of course, we. Go ahead.
I was curious that, well, we're composed in large part of water, so what change or what effects will we see in that regard within our own?
Well, I'm guessing, and I know Virginia.
Well, we're here. That's all right. That's all right. You just left your field. All right. Now, how that you have an effect, that's the shift and the change that's taking place in your whole meat sack body. You're creating yourself back to perfection. So now you want to ask your question. If you say, I'm mostly water and water's changing, well, guess what, big boy? You also are mostly changing.
So your pH is probably changing of your blood is dropping.
Yeah, absolutely.
Due to the consumption of our...
Will water taste real sour?
Never.
I've drank in bottled water for years, and now I can drink tap water, and the chlorine actually tastes good. I've never been able to do that before.
And he's always been big in the water business. Yeah. He's always been just, like, freaky about water.
So, Ion, would you say that maybe the best way for someone...
She's up.
Yeah, I just had some sugar, and now I'm ready. That maybe the best way to look at the pH is to talk about how the H197 flooding our atmosphere, that we can use those extra hydrogens, and that's what's sort of binding up and bonding up water and allowing this shift. Is that a good way to explain it?
It's an okay way to explain it, but what you're trying to get to, if the potential for hydrogen is negated, so that the potential for hydrogen can eliminate hydrogen, that's a very new conversation. And if you have your carbon in place correctly, then your H197 has electrons to borrow. We made a little pun on cash flow today, and we weren't playing. We don't play. We play at it, but we're always literal. And you heard what the pun was, did you not?
I did.
Oh, Jenny Bell is who we were speaking to. Go ahead, Jenny Bell.
He told a joke about two hydrogen atoms that went in a bar.
Right.
One of them, remember, about losing the electrons, and the one I said, I've lost an electron, and the other one said, are you sure? And he said, yes, I'm positive. So when you drop the electron, it actually creates a positive charge, and that has to do with the change in bonding between the carbon bonds that we're bonded to now, and the ionosphere changes the bonding at a cellular level.
I didn't catch all that what you said about the ion changes the bonding in the H197. Is that changing ionosphere?
H197, wah, wah, wah. Get it for your recording. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's going in and out. Everybody's going in and out. It's hard to...
So,
so somebody was lamenting that they might not be able to swim in the future if our relationship to water changes. Is there anything with surface water that will be noticed as a change?
We don't know surface water.
Lakes, rivers, streams, the ocean, anything aside from these sort of chemical changes that will be...
Every bit of that water is in a filtering system through your atmosphere, and your atmosphere is changing. Sasha, get your pencil. We're going to do this one more time. Your atmosphere after the thunders, Revelations 10, 1 through 4, your atmosphere is going to change to NASO4.KMG4(HE6NE2)(XE5)(XE5). R(N3)(OPEN)(TH3ZR1)(DIG)(SIDO2). When you take that atmospheric formulary, water, surface water, 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 wet water, dry water, hard water, soft water, will indeed change. You got that now, finally?
It will change. What would the appearance change?
Well, you don't see water now, so you won't notice then.
So everything will basically
you judge. No. You don't see water. You don't see water. You judge water by how clear it is. You judge water by how clear it is. If it's muddy, it's not clear. So you're saying, what color will water be? It'll be clear.
And the same consistency, basically.
Well, that's relative. You don't know the consistency of water.
Sure, some water's
hard. Some is abrasive. Some is soft. Sometimes you use a whole bunch of soap to make lather, and sometimes you use hardly none to make lather. That's all relative.
Yep. So
and the specific gravity of water will change too, Bart.
Yep.
So, you know, water, well, I'm going to use words that may not be fully accurate, so correct that I am, but you put soap in water to lower the specific gravity and the surface tension so that the water absorbs dirt easier. So certain...
Well, or dispels dirt into the water.
Right. Makes it slipperier or...
Well, it just changes the surface tension so it doesn't... It's not as easy to stay on you and easier to go into the water.
Water is the universal solvent.
Well, you know when the Wicked Witch died... When they poured water on her in Wizard of Oz, have you guys discussed that before?
The Wicked Witch of the West, yeah. Glinda's sister.
I was just thinking about how you said we were salt and light, and I don't really know what salt is, but I know it dissolves in water.
Uh-huh.
So I was wondering if that reference of her melting from the water had anything to do with her being salt.
No.
Okay.
Because salt will dissolve into water, but you can also make salt fall out of a solution of water.
Okay.
So that's perspective. And you can evaporate salt out of water and still leave salt. Salt is.
Okay.
Can you describe magistry in relation to that chemical formula?
Magistry or majesty?
Magistry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, give us a working definition of it.
Magistry is any substance prepared from the basic elements of the substance without impurities.
And what this does is this clarifies any impurity as a substrate. So it doesn't apply. So that would be the working definition and would work fine.
Okay.
Can you state a difference between angles and degrees, if I can interject that?
Degrees are the measurements of angles. Angles are capitulated force positions that are inclusive of a plane of experience.
90-degree, 45-degree.
33rd degree, yeah.
33rd degree, right. Thirty-three degree angle. So if angles create all, is this correct statement? Angles create objects?
No, every object is created in the confines of an angle.
Ah, okay.
So you're close.
Okay. So objects that everything that's created is within the confines of an angle. Created within the confines of an angle.
Correct. Otherwise, it becomes this something in the queue to be created. Just because it's not inside the angle, that just means you've not created it. It may be, but then you create the angle that includes it into your creation as well.
Ah, and are each of us represented by one angle or several?
All angles.
All angles, okay.
We're representative of each angle found in a dodecahedron. Bob's rocking up now. That's old school, isn't it, Bob?
And what's the relationship between a circle and the infinite angles? Circle contains all angles?
Zero is not. Zero is just a placeholder.
Okay. It's a sort of...
It's a placeholder without an angle.
Okay. So it doesn't exist.
No, we didn't say that. A placeholder exists, but it doesn't have an angle.
But it can exist.
If you have a zero and you put a one in front of it, now that's 10 angles. It's just a placeholder.
Okay. Yeah.
If you have 11 angles, then you put a zero between it, you have 101 angles. So it's just a placeholder.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It affects perspective. That's why Chad's code is pretty fun, because he's redoing the meaning of one and zero. It's changing everything. That's why he's gone from zero to hero overnight. You number one.
Ion, which geometric shape contains all the possible angles that can be, like, all the different degrees of angles?
Dodecahedron.
Okay.
You knew that, for Pete's sake.
Well, no, because one could say that, you know, an ellipse has no angles in it, but it could also be said that it has all the different angles in it.
But it does not. How can something that has no angle contain all angles? Now, if you're talking about perspectives that'll fit in an inside of an ellipse, that's a very different conversation.
So,
but then
all
that's
the
a set plane. That's a set plane that nothing else, anything outside of the ellipse, would be excluded. So, you're starting to sound like Marshall McLuhan. You start to resemble all your same fallacies.
But did you say that all the possible perspectives can be held in an ellipse?
In a contained arena inside the ellipse, sure.
So does that relate to the 14 degrees of freedom in that...
It could. It doesn't, but it could. It's certainly worthy to develop.
So take one of the degrees of freedom, let's say, like pitch. Now, on that degree of freedom...
Now, if you're going to apply pitch to an elliptical circle, is the pitch referred to the position of the ellipse or the position inside the ellipse? There's a difference.
Yeah, you could look at it both ways.
Well, look at the one that if you put it on a flat page and you turn the page, that would be pitch. You've moved the angle of the ellipse.
So if you put it on a table, and you mean lift the paper up a little or turn the paper?
Right, like if it was in a book and you turned the page, that would be an example of pitch.
Okay, so then the ellipse would be pitching. And you're saying that within the degree of freedom of pitch, I can express all the different perspectives that are available through that particular degree of pitch.
Simultaneously with the other 13 degrees of freedom, and you and James may actually be onto something.
Okay, so could the ellipse apply to every one of the degrees of freedom?
It does.
It does.
Well.
Okay, but do you recommend?
No. If you're talking about a point of movement, yes, but it's not saying that pitch is 14 times, but because yaw would be very different than pitch.
Okay, so do you recommend going at it from, in the example of pitch, turning the page to change the angle of the ellipse, or being inside of the ellipse and looking at it that way?
Both would be appropriate.
Okay, so
both. If you get all 14 degrees, you're going to create a holographic image regardless of how you see it.
Mm-hmm.
You may see the hologram that you're standing in the center of, and it's happening about you, or you may be standing from afar and seeing it as a very unique perspective of a temple.
So you're making this holographic image.
Confined in the base of a lotus flower.
Okay, so to construct this holographic image and then see it, would one feel like they're inside of the hologram when they're looking at it?
Isn't that the aspect of a hologram?
Well, there's some holograms.
Dimension. You see it as a dimension that is real.
Yeah, but you see it in front of you. You know, normally it's in front of you. But I'm saying, when you look at the
construction. Not in a holodeck.
Explain a holodeck.
A holodeck is a contained computer imagery field in which an entire environment is created about you. Down, over, under, everything a rabbit can do to a stump, you can do to the stump in a holodeck.
Okay. So, through the study of these ellipses and the different degrees, how take an ellipse and then run each one of the 14 degrees of freedom on that ellipse to know all the degrees of freedom, they're saying that once that... that dynamic is known, that one would then have the ability to create a holodeck?
Well, you'd create the hologram. Then you'd have no trouble adjusting that in the form of a fully dimensional functioning holodeck.
And explain the dynamic of scaling up from this small hologram to a holodeck.
Just add zeros to the perspective. Have it in a contained field where nothing outside this field will be included in the hologram.
So then we get to the point where we're excluding. Does that mean we're using the non-gate in the diagram?
That's correct. It's what makes it a contained flow. That we're just talking about setting it in a space of a room makes no size of the room, because as you walk in the holodeck, the holodeck will move. So you
would that be similar to the like having a TARDIS like Doctor Who?
The opposite. Instead of the TARDIS moving to another space-time, you would move space-time inside it.
Okay.
So a TARDIS isn't bad, but it's just the opposite. It's what they did on Gallifrey, if that's what you're going to make reference to, the Time Lords. That's what was significant about Gallifrey laid out in Doctor Who. Anyway.
When they talk about Time Lords in Doctor Who, they're talking about making time tell, aren't they?
They are.
Right.
And we wish the same for you.
When you say hologram and holodeck, normally hologram means something that's virtual and it's just there as a light representation.
Number one, that's what we're saying your world is right now, is a light representation of your engagement.
So when you say what you see is not real, you mean the hologram that I see right now is a hologram?
Yes.
Okay.
It is already that.
If I was to take the Escher, how high is there a passage in the Bible, or can you tell me how high the walls of the Escher would be in perspective, in relation?
That's relative to the size you make your hologram.
Yeah.
But the dimensions, Brian can tell you the dimensions of the temple right now. Get in the back into Revelations, it'll tell you. How many cubes and strings and lengths?
Yeah, I remember a measurement for the outer courts and the inner courts.
Inner courts.
Yeah.
And then Brian can show you how to plumb and square that foundation, too. He can even tell you what the foundation's made of. It's amazing. Brian,
what's it made of?
What a quipper. Brian, tell him.
Silicon dioxide.
Brian, what are the foundations made of the temple?
Oh, I was on mute. Sorry, James just said it. I could pull a Greg on this one. No, it ain't that. Greg's on the mat.
I can't hear you, Brian. You're breaking up.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, Brian.
What's the question?
Brian, speak.
Foundations.
What are the foundations made of?
Silicon dioxide. Which reminds me, in the real line, it said it's silicon dioxide used as a gliding agent. Is that just the, what do you call it, the shell of the capsule or what?
Capsule.
It certainly can be used for juxtaposed positions.
Juxtaposed positions?
Ew.
Yeah, silicon is used as a lubricant too. It's like it's an alternative to using oil.
But why
it's slick as hell, stinky.
The temple again? Is that our bodies? Is that our meat?
No. Pack? No. Ooh, no.
Okay, can you tell me what the temples are? Or what the temple is?
Rejoice can tell you that. We ain't heard a peep out of her. Rejoice, tell me about the temple.
Well, let's see. Temple is, location of your, and it's comprised of foundation walls, 12 foundation walls. There's in the temple, the foundations are, not only silicon dioxide, but different stones like jasper and sapphire and.
Oh my God, I can't hear any of that. Getting bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I heard the foundation is silicon dioxide, and then clear on what the temple is still.
Well, Joyce was giving you the walls and the details of the temple, but simple, we're giving you a pass, Rejoice. It's where your throne is located. It's where the altar is located. It's where those marvelous pillars that Sheila is trying to paint are located.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this an actual, or is this more of like in your mind kind of thing?
Won't be in your mind kind of thing. It'll be.
It's a real physical place?
Oh, yeah.
And is it different for each person?
Well, everyone who has a throne, it'll be different.
Okay, so my throne's located at a different location than, say...
Your throne is located at a different location than, say...
Bob's or anybody's.
Yes.
That's ascending.
Right. Well, we don't like ascending... we don't like ascended. We fight about that. Those engaged in ascension, that's the way to go at
gotcha.
It. Otherwise, you'll get all up Bob's nose, and he'll end in tears.
Can the throne
okay, so how do we locate our throne?
You create it.
It'll be in your kingdom, wherever
that's
your
right.
kingdom is.
That's exactly right. Now she's on. Now y'all better look out. Rejoice is on now.
And what will it look like?
Well, it's described in Revelation, darling. Down to the sides
yeah.
of the walls, the inner court, the outer court, where it is, room for 24 elders, the throne, the altar, the court, the inner court, the outer court, and then the terraces. In the courtyard, in the garden, in the walls that surround it. It's all laid out. You can get a measuring stick and lay it out. And if you don't know how to lay it out, Brian will show you how to square a foundation. He learned that himself. Plumb and square.
Brian, have you seen your throne?
Have I seen my throne?
Yeah. Have you created your throne yet?
I'll just say... Now, everybody seems to be after this nebulous place of their throne. And for me, I guess I'll just spill it, and then I'll, and if it's not accurate, then I can clean it up. But for me, my throne is in every cell of my body.
Well, great. So every cell in your body then would have to be achieved in your place of ascension that would have a place for it to be. That'd be on a specific throne.
So are you saying he's correct, or is that...
Well, he gave his perspective, and we didn't say no. We just said that's limiting because it will be an actual throne, an actual chair. See, the Queen of England is the queen, so much so that the only way they remove a flag when she moves around. She's still the reigning monarch. She's still the queen, regardless of which castle or house she's in. And she has multiple thrones. But one, especially the seat of Canterbury, it would be the main throne, okay? So that's the one that they would tote around for some high event.
Is that why, Ian, you say that our throne is a transitory space?
Absolutely.
Wherever you go, there you are, kind of a throne?
Maybe, but not necessarily. It's possible, but it's not required.
Okay.
So could you repeat what you said earlier when I said that my throne is in every cell of my body? And
well, and we didn't disagree with that. We just cleared up that every cell of your body would be the representation of where your throne would be located. But it would be a physical throne with them lampstands and the elders and the beast, and the altar would be contained.
Okay.
inside.
Mm. Well,
it's not inappropriate for you to call it the way you're calling it. It is just inappropriate that it's not completely accurate, that there will physically be a throne that your ascended ace will sit upon.
Now we're going to get back to what is physical.
Well, then we're going to get to what the foundations are. That's why we... we didn't mean to blow him right out of the soup.
That wasn't me.
Well, good. So now we're going to get to, don't you find it odd that every time someone brings up the foundations, we come to you?
Okay, well, in chapter 4, when...
Yeah, now we're getting... All right, rejoice. It's on now. Revelation, okay, chapter 4.
Chapter 4.
Specifically, when the angel... John is laying this out. He's writing this out. He's basically telling you, or he's telling me, he's saying, look, you're about to see... And I'm going to phrase it this way. You're about to see, I'll call it a movie, of you sitting on your throne. So the angel calls me up and says, come up here, because there's a door, and I walk through the door, and the angel shows me my throne. Now, the way it was laid out in Revelation, that throne and what we've laid out in Rewrite is the seat of my power, but it was also laid out as that is non-physical.
Well, what you're trying to get to was in verse 2 when he was in the spirit, and that's going to be found in Isaiah 6:1. That's a better work of the throne set in heaven. And one set on the throne.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Jenny. Listen here. It's kind of interesting. So, in Revelations, an angel come on up here. You walk through a gate, the door, and you see yourself. Okay, now, Ion has been saying for months, come on up. Let me show you your throne. And Jane and Chad are actually putting it into a hologramic picture. I mean, Ion showed us everything about our throne. Showed us the measurement, showed us the dimension, showed us, given us all the frequencies. So if Ion keeps talking about plumbing and squaring the foundations, you know that's a triangulated position. So, I mean, it's like... Every single thing that is what's happening right here, right now. We'll see it with our eyes as James and Chad continue to map out these equations.
And everything that you just said, Virginia, that you just laid out, is in the angel diagram, which represents a cell, a perfect cell.
Yes, right, and I completely agree with you, and I can see where Ion said, yeah, okay, we think, right, your throne is in every cell of your body, okay, but, or and in addition to that, I would just say every single cell of your body that houses your throne would have a triangulated position that would align with a physical representation of a... I think you're absolutely right. Let me flip it, if you will.
Let's say that instead of my throne being physical, how about I say my throne is non-physical?
Okay, you can say your throne's non-physical. I mean, I get that, but.
Let me say it like this. We know, and Ian has said this many times, okay, if you know, we look into the cell and we get clear down to the to the neutron, protons, electrons, and you get all that space in between, you know, your neutron, protons, all that stuff spinning around. That's your non-physical. And you are far and away non-physical.
Wait, that's George that's the ionosphere. That's the ionosphere that is non-physical, but it's relation to when Ion went over those spheres that night and there were those seven different layers. The ionosphere is the specific sphere. So it's an aspect of all non-physical spheres. So I'm surprised about that one.
But that has nothing to do with the physical throne.
That's correct. I completely, totally get that, because the one thing that Ion has drilled into me, and the reason why my life's gotten so delicious is because I got out of the woo-woo stuff and got into the dirty here and now, like what's here, right now in the physical world, hallucinating. Well, I get it's a hallucination. But I also get joy in my preference to be here and to create and to use the contrast for an amusement. Now, then that's what it's starting to become is, you know, whatever contrast it has. If you see the perfected cell, 6.944 megahertz frequency, that's everything. So that includes earthquakes and floods and all the rest of that stuff. But I can allow all that to be in my world, and I can just laugh at me. Because it has to be all inclusive, but it is extend a physical plane.
Otherwise, what's forever for?
Yeah. Right. So what you're saying is absolutely accurate. The frequency of cells is your cell frequency keeps going up and up and up and up and up, which it will if as you continue through this process, unless you decide you're out, which I'm not. At least I assume that from vehemently speak about it.
Right.
As you continue, your frequency continues to go up and up and up and up and up. You continue to start to fall under the unlawful law of magnetism, which will be that you'll just start to magnetically move through wars, through gates, to your own bliss and your own joy, and you will have a literal throne in your reality because that will be the seat of your kingdom.
If you can get it out of the labyrinth of your mind, just like they were going through doors in the Adjustment Bureau, then you can go through worlds the same way, and in and out, and even have shortcuts. You can transpose the labyrinth from your mind into your physical with no limitation. Because, see, there's no limitation of what machinations you can fuck up in your mind. Well, if you could have that same in your world, then you could have pink elephants, have them stand around you at breakfast. And we say that, so now you're thinking of pink elephants. Well, if that thought could make pink elephants be, that's what we're talking about.
So your thoughts, body, whatever you think.
You say that again?
So your thoughts can become reality.
Well, once you get them out of the labyrinth of your mind, they will.
Right, if you don't
because
have a
time is
belief
the labyrinth
it.
Of the mind. Yeah, well, no, the labyrinth of the mind is the place where time is held.
Right.
So you have no mind. You have no time. You have no time.
You have no time. There's no limitation for allowing anything to be. That's why we say you can be, do, or have anything. Well, how that applies is outside of your labyrinth.
Okay.
That's the key. Or as Sheila says, that's the keyhole.
Mm-hmm. Would more electrical resistance equal a degree of vibrational increase?
You're regarding aperture?
Yeah.
Well, amplitude has only to do with that noted resistance, sometimes also calculated in ohmerage. Ohmerage is key because ohmerage will give you the amount of frequency being dispersed or assimilated or grounded out.
Yeah, because I noticed the RNA drops gave off 90,000 kilo-ohms. you did mention that a while ago, yeah.
And you had balls enough to check it, didn't you?
Well, I was just checking myself, and I was peaking at, you know, 400,000 in some parts, and I was like, this is interesting.
Well, get you one of them stainless steel probes and watch it eat the stainless steel up. Then you'll see something.
Yeah, right.
It'll pit stainless steel and finally dissolve it. And you're going, what? Are you damn straight, honey? If it can change titanium out of your body, make it back to bone, it'll melt stainless steel. That's a piece of cake. Get your big old grill and rub it with RNA drops, honey. It'll just melt. We ain't playing. I mean, we said it. Now, if you want to try it, try it. You'll see.
Hey, Sheldon, Ginny and Brian have been having this debate, argument about what the throne is since the first session, 36 sessions ago. In fact, the issue of the throne, I think, was the first question that Brian brought up
in
the first session.
That's what started it off. That's exactly correct.
And we're still whittling away. Anybody know what the throne is?
Palmer?
Something physical.
It's physical, but it's also a state.
It is a state, a good, good. The same way you could be the heir apparent and never be king. That's a state. That's a state of being. Very good.
Okay.
For example, that's where we always talk about reincarnation or the lack of it. We say there's only one coronation. You either show up or you don't. Once you're coronated, they don't re-coronate you. There's only one. You may abdicate, but you're still king.
You can abdicate your throne.
But you're still king.
Yeah. But it's better to be a king on his throne.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to spend eternity in Monaco. Ooh.
So on the vacant thrones the vacant thrones that we know about in the Book of Enoch, the ones that he's describing,
those are placeholders for you all that he was seeing that were available that you could get this. Notice how it was in levels with Enoch, and she's talking about 32, aren't you? She's talking about 32 of Book of Enoch. Sasha.
Sorry, the phone's got terrible connection. I keep dropping.
Okay, you're talking about the book 32 of Book of Enoch, right?
They're scattered all the way through.
Okay, we're talking about the ones in 32.
Okay.
They talk about the levels of the thrones as Enoch was moving through these realms. These different layers, he was describing these thrones, the empty throne here, empty throne, and on and on and on. Those are the thrones that the little men, as Enoch laid it out for you, that little men would ascend to.
Okay. You made
and they were
fall.
And they were physical. No, now wait, you ain't through with that. And so therefore they were, the way Enoch was describing it, physical thrones, were they not?
Yay.
Well, so are we.
Both. It's a state of being, and it is physical.
Hell yeah.
Now, you also mentioned in that same, if I dug deeper to that, we'd be getting close to the Empire. So
somehow in my mind I was associating those thrusts with the empires. Would that be correct? Or a correct assumption?
Ask it a different way.
Are the thrones that are laid out in the empty vacant thrones in Enoch and those different levels, they, do they directly have a link empires?
Categorically, yes.
Yes?
Categorically, yes.
Do we need to describe categorically so we're clear about what that means?
It won't last long enough for you to notice.
Okay.
The yes is good enough.
Mm-hmm. It's not complete, and it's going to change. But for the category that's being asked, the answer is sure. But don't get stuck.
So do any of those vacant thrones, are any vacant thrones that are described in Enoch, do they, any of those thrones specifically to any people in this group?
Sure.
Okay.
You hope so.